Among the tragedies of famine is the destruction, in the death of children, of so much unrealized capacity, talent just beginning to flower, to find it destroyed by starvation. I've seen its destruction, and it's horrible. We get a glimpse of it in the book of Revelation, chapter 6. There we see the opening of the seals. We read in verses 7 and 8, "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth." What follows war, and what follows famine? Death and hell. What is the color of his horse? A pale horse. The Greek word is interesting. It's the word from which the name of chlorine gas is taken. This is a ghastly green color. The word is also used of the face of a person who's blanched with terror. It's also the color of a corpse. Of what is this picture? Pestilence. Doesn't it always follow war and famine? The rider of this horse is named Death, and hell, or Hades, follows him as though to gather up the victims which are mowed down by the sickle of death. Hades is the dwelling place of the unsaved between death and the resurrection. It's God's county jail. It's temporary, in contrast to the lake of fire, which is forever and ever. The devil, according to Hebrews 2:14, has the power of death. He exercised that power upon the family of Job. What he does in this chapter is definitely by the command of Christ. Now, to me, this is comforting. No movement of the devil is apart from the knowledge of the will of God. Not only that, but our Lord said, "I am he that liveth, and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." And according to Revelation 20:14, after all the unredeemed have heard the final word of judgment, death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. This verse tells us death will have power over one-fourth of the earth, and wild beasts always multiply in an area that's largely depopulated. What a devastating picture of destruction. How this should spur us to witness and to win the lost at any cost. God didn't give us this truth to make us stargazers, but soul winners. Not to give us itching ears, but glowing hearts. To snatch souls as brands from the burning, and thus prepare them for the coming of the Lord. Every doctrine has its duty. Every truth has its task. And our duty for this doctrine, our task for this truth, is to go and give, to pray and preach, to witness and work. If we don't, there's something wrong with us. Not with the Lord, not with the Bible, but with us. Now, let's consider the fifth seal, verses 9 through 11. "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. With the opening of the fifth seal, a cry is heard. From whom? Martyrs. Who are they? Believers of the past? Oh no! Believers who have lost their lives under the first four seals in the first half of the tribulation period. They'll be saved during the tribulation, but they'll die for the faith. They'll seal their testimony with their own blood. Matthew 24:9 says, "They shall deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." They'll be saved by the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom according to Matthew 24:14. Today, we preach the gospel of grace. During the tribulation, they'll preach the gospel of the kingdom. What is the difference? The gospel of the kingdom includes all the gospel of grace, but it also proclaims the kingdom of God's rule upon this earth. Righteousness, for which the world has so long waited, is about to come upon the earth. The Lord himself is about to appear. These martyrs are called souls. There's a difference between souls and spirits. Spirit has no relationship to a body. God is a spirit. He has no body. Angels are spirits. They have no body. Satan is a spirit. He has no body. But a soul must have a body. The word soul implies a body. The question is, what kind of a body do these souls have? They're given robes. Robes demand a body. They couldn't hang on spirits. Their bodies are not the kind the Christians now have, nor are they the kind of bodies the resurrected Christians will have. They're temporary bodies, suited for their presence in heaven, but replaced in turn by their everlasting resurrection bodies given at the time of Christ's return. Tell me, will you be in that number of the Lord's redeemed? Those who have been saved by the blood of the Lamb? Those who have been so caught up by Christ that they witness, they work, and win others to the Lord? My friend, get ready for that day by repenting, by receiving Jesus, by living for him, won't you?